Now, because of that devastating tragedy in Donegal, we won't be doing our usual programme today. Instead, we'll be bringing you updates from the scene of the blast in Chrysla and talking to locals from a community that is today coming to terms with unimaginable loss, as well as some of those involved in the rescue and recovery effort. And just to warn you, some listeners may find some of the accounts from the scene upsetting, just to be aware of that as we go into this programme. We'll go over live now, though, to the scene in the village of Chrysla, where Chris McNulty, reporter with the Donegal Democrat, is standing by for us. Have we got you there, Chris?
Yeah, you have indeed, Katie.
Chris, what's happening there right now?
Well, at the moment, this search and rescue operation still ongoing and has been since just after 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon at Lafferty's phone station here in Chrysla. The RDE have earlier this morning confirmed that 9 people have lost their lives and many more injured, and still some people are unaccounted for as the operation continues.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, isn't it? That there's still people unaccounted for. So, is there fears there today that death toll may rise?
Yeah, there is indeed, Katie. The emergency services had suggested this morning that what was a rescue operation has now become a recovery operation. So that language in itself would suggest that further fatalities are indeed possible.
And are there many of the local community around the scene now? You know, what are people doing there?
Yeah, I suppose people are just coming to really do what they can. They're coming to sort of be here for each other. There's, you know, no one's really saying too much. Like, everyone's sort of standing in stony silence, really. And some people coming this morning just offer prayers at the Garda Cordon at the tape, which is just down the road from the film station. And there was a mass offered by the local priest this morning, Father John Joe Duffy, and the church was packed, overflowing. You know, just, I suppose, people coming together to support each other and to really, I suppose, pray and hope for some semblance of good news and amidst all the tragedy.
Yeah, and I believe that was that Father John Joe Duffy delivered a very powerful sermon.
Yeah, he did indeed. It was very, very moving, actually, but also very powerful. You know, he spoke about the sense of community, and I mean, it's so evident today and has been since yesterday how close knit this community, and, you know, I suppose how much the community and the people in it mean to each other. And I suppose Father John Joe touched on it this morning. You know, people are going to be there for each other. And, you know, even Liam McElhenney, the chairman of the local GA club, St. Michael, spoke about how there were a lot of sellers from the club at the shop, just, you know, in the moments beforehand. They had just sort of given up their station just before the blast. Liam himself had just left the shop at 2:30, you know. And I suppose it's one of those complexes in rural villages. You know, it was everything, really. You know, it's the only shop in the village. It's the post office. There's an apartment complex, you know. And like, the village itself is sort of the gateway to northwest Donegal, to, you know, towns and places like Dunfanaghy, Fulcara, Gweedore. Like, it's such a busy, bustling town. And, you know, really, at 3 o'clock on a Friday, you can imagine how busy the complex would have been.
Yeah, because Chrysla itself is quite a small place, but as you say, this would have been a stop-off point for a lot of people, you know, going to that side to West Donegal.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the, you know, the N56, which is the main road from Letterkenny, and goes out through Chrysla, Dunfanaghy, onto Fulcara and Gweedore. Like, it runs through the village of Chrysla. You know, the local school had just finished at 3 o'clock. The closing itself happened at 3:20. So, and also, I suppose, a lot of commuters, like people coming from schools nearby in other towns, and people coming from third level institutes in Donegal and beyond, making their way home for the weekend. There's a lot of holiday homes in this area in Donegal, and again, scores of people who would have been either going to or coming from those, you know, from those buildings. So yeah, look, Chrysla in itself is a small rural village, but very, very much a busy, thriving one.
And I appreciate that you know, obviously names haven't been officially released of the fatalities there and those that are injured, but because of the kind of community it is, the names are circulating widely of the people who have been caught up in this, and it does seem to be mainly people from the, you know, very closely around Chrysla itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like outside the church this morning, we spoke to Liam McElhenney, the GAA club chairman, and, you know, spoke about how the people affected and the people involved were, you know, long time, you know, generations of their families haven't been involved with the GAA club. And again, like a, you know, a community like this, everyone knows everyone. You know, it's a it is a really, really tight knit community. And, you know, from the people working in the shop to the people who were in it, you know, they would be all widely known in the area.
And are you hearing anything about the injured that were taken? Are they all in Letterkenny Hospital, as far as we know?
No, there were at least one person was transferred to a hospital in Dublin, was airlifted, and the Air Coast Guard 118 helicopter was utilised in the operation yesterday afternoon, and at least one person was taken to a hospital in Dublin. But Letterkenny University Hospital enacted an emergency protocol to deal with the other casualties.
Okay, Chris McNulty, many thanks for that update there. No doubt you'll be keeping us up to date with that as the days go by. That story, devastating, Chrisla, obviously. And I want to go now to speak to a man from that community, from Bernard Doherty. Bernard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Bernard, you're just a couple of miles away from this, where this occurred, yeah?
Yeah, we're just a couple of miles, maybe an hour or three from the village. About quarter past or 3:20 yesterday, water started to filter through. And we were coming home yesterday, my wife came down to the office and said, something's happened in Creaset, we should go and see if you can help. So, headed down, didn't know what to expect, and just got there to see utter devastation.
And, like, what did you see when you got there? Was it clear immediately that you were dealing with a blast, an explosion?
Yeah, it was quite clear. The rubble had been blown across the forecourt and out as far as the road. You know the front section of the shop and up through a couple of floors of apartments above had been blown out. The building looked pretty unstable. There was rubble everywhere, and there was everything from, you know, tin. There was blocks, floor slabs, contents from the shop. You know, all that kind of stuff was just lying all around the place.
And was there, like, people who were not caught in the epicentre of this that were able to kind of walk away from it?
There was some, yeah, some nearby. Some had been just leaving the shop. Some had just arrived at the shop who, luckily enough, had either just left the shop or hadn't gone in yet, who were able to walk away. I believe some, what do they call it, walking wounded had left as well, just in ambulances to get looked about in the hospital. So yeah, it was just hard to know where to start.
And what did you do actually? Because I know, like, there was concerns about how unstable everything was at that stage.
There was there was volunteers there before me, and volunteers came after me. Look, we just tried to clear rubble, see was there anybody shouting for help, see was there anybody, you know, looking for help or trying to get out.
Could you actually hear people at that stage?
Yeah, there was a lot of noise that happened at that time. You know, it was all different kinds of shouting, people shouting and, you know, trying to, I suppose, figure out what was there. And we're trying to even figure out, you know, being a small town, you'd kind of recognise the cars in the forecourt. So trying to figure out what cars were there, or, you know, how many roughly would be there. Or, you know, I suppose, trying to piece it together and see, were you going to know people in there? Or, you know, it's a local shop, it's the epicentre of the town, sits in the N56, so it gets a severe amount of passing traffic. You know, there's days there during summertime, during peak holiday season, where you could have queued out the door from that shop, you could have 20, 30, 40 people in the shop. So we're just trying to, you know, see what, I suppose, what we're dealing with.
And, I mean, at that stage, you didn't have machinery, I assume, right, in the immediate aftermath. Were you actually people using their hands to try and move debris?
Yeah, there was two or three locations around the building, both front and back, where we had set up chain gangs, just, you know, 8 or 10 or 12 men, just from the very epicentre of where it happened, all the way to the back, just passing out rubble and blocks and just getting it out to try and clear away. And, you know,
I'm just really struck by how you were able to organise yourselves in the middle of, I mean, there must have been some sense of, like, just the shock and the panic around this, but you seem to have been able to sort of organise yourselves into, as you say, these kind of chain gangs to work together very quickly.
Well, you know, something, if you were asked to sit down and have a plan as to how to go about it, you wouldn't know where to start. But it's just when you land there, both adrenaline and, I suppose, instinct kick in, and you suppose you kind of go into survival mode to try and get out. You can get out and try and, I suppose, comprehend what's going on and assess the situation. There was danger from the floors above, a lot of block work on floor slabs and sections of roof were unsteady. And, you know, when the emergency service had landed, they got acro props to prop it up to somewhat secure it. There was no target from there on of local lorries and, you know, tractors and trailers, telehelpers.
Was it locals that went and brought their own tractors and trailers to help out as well?
Yeah, it was all local stuff. There was a local builder working in the school down the road. He came up with a teleporter. The local quarry, muckers, sand and gravel, sent up lorries. Locals showed up with diggers, small telehandlers, and just local guys came up with tractors and trailers to clear the rubble. I suppose a community effort to try and clear away. And, you know, I suppose the emergency areas would have been somewhat hampered too if they couldn't get in. So it, you know, between the locals, I suppose, being the first on the scene, and the emergency services following shortly after it, that plan kind of fell into place fairly soon. Those kind of teams towards the back of the unit and teams towards the front, and they all had their own plans in place, I suppose, you know, to try and get in.
And of course, we know that you know, we've got confirmation now that there's been 9 fatalities, 9 bodies removed from the rubble. Were you able to pull people out who did survive it?
Yeah, there was one girl in the back who survived us. Yeah. And so obviously, that some of the people who had survived it, who were in the close vicinity, had walked away or been carried away before I got there. But shortly after I landed, one year I was taken out the back door, yeah.
But as you were working on this, and I know you were there for hours and hours yesterday, Bernard, I assume it was clear to you that you were going to make some grim discoveries.
Well, I found that out just about 20 seconds after landing on the scene, so I knew what was ahead, all right, yeah.
And as you say, you were looking at the cars in the forecourt, you were, you know, figuring out who might be in there.
Yeah.
I assume you knew a lot of the victims here.
I knew most of them, I think all but one so far, yeah.
Well, I just condolences from everyone on the team here as I'm talking to you, Bernard. I'm just, you know, this is a whole community will be just in such shock, I imagine, today still, you know, trying to come. Even the people who escaped it, that sense of, you know, what could have been.
Well, you know, I suppose yesterday demonstrated just the very spirit that is in Chrysler. I mean, if you tried to put a plan in place, it couldn't have worked out, you know, the way it did. We had a local priest, Father John Duffy, there on the scene. He was saying his prayers. He said a really, really nice mass this morning. Myself and my family were at it. He's a great asset in our town. He prayed away there all day yesterday, I'm sure all through the night, as he would.
And of course, as the word was getting out, people were coming to the scene, were worried about their family and friends.
Every time I checked my phone, I had 6 or 8 missed calls of people ringing saying my friends was around the shop, or had relatives working in the shop. Do you know, did you see them, or did this person get out, or, you know, what's happening, is there anybody dead, is there, you know, just pure, not panic, but just concern, you know, and I suppose worry, as you would when you're, you know, if you were 20 or 30 miles from the town and you had family or friends, you'd be trying to find out. A lot of people from Farrafield trying to touch base and see what was happening, or I suppose praying that nobody they knew was there, or, you know, were running around the building.
And do you have a sense now that you know, and I obviously we're not releasing names, or they won't be released for some time yet, but that you know the full extent of the tragedy there now, or are you still afraid that there may be people still in that, you know, in that rubble that haven't been found yet?
I understand. I was up there a while after Mass, and I understand they're fairly well through the rescue part of the minute there now.
Right, okay. You know, Bernard, I'll let you go. Many, many thanks. I really appreciate you talking to us. And, well, you know, just to say to the community, it's extraordinary to hear how you all came together there yesterday and overnight. And I think everyone, the whole country's thoughts are with you. So thank you for that.
And just before I go, I want to obviously pass on my condolences to the families of those who were deceased, those who were injured. And look, our thoughts and prayers are with the entire community.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, okay. That's Bernard Doherty there. Many thanks, Bernard. Before we came on air, I spoke to Gerald Duffy. Gerald Duffy's of Muckish Development Group, a local community group there. And I began by asking him where he was when he heard what had happened.
Well, I was actually coming on my way from work when the news came through. So I made my way to Creaseless. Obviously, it was just a complete chaos. All a lot of people could do is just stand there and let the professionals do their work to retrieve the bodies. And but it's just, everybody's shocked, numb.
I mean, it's obviously hard to put words on it, Gerald.
No, you can't. You can't.
You are you actually from Creaseley itself?
I'm from Creaseley, yeah. I would know most of the people that's been confirmed dead. So, you know, it's a small community. Everybody knows one another.
Oh, I mean, our condolences, Gerald. I should have said that at the off, because, as you say, it must be an extraordinary difficult day for you there.
It is. I mean, those masks at 10 o'clock, the church was full, like, you know.
Yeah. And go back to yesterday. Then you went straight to the scene, did you?
Yeah. Well, we were at the scene, but probably about an hour after that happened, you know.
And at that stage, had the emergency services got there?
Well, they were there, yeah. The helicopters came in. There was at least three there at the end up, you know. And as I say, everybody was just shocked. There's no words. You just can't put words to it. That was in front of us, you know.
And, like, as you say, we know that, and we've heard all morning now, that this is like the hub of the community. And for many, many miles around, this would be the main centre.
The main shop, post office, filling station, you know, I'll be in myself probably sometimes twice a day, you know, every morning go to work and on the way back. And, you know, it's just a very, very busy place.
And this would have been a very, very busy time as well.
Very busy time after school. You know, mothers picking up the children and calling them to the shop. And then there was pension day for a lot of the ones going to pick up their pension and benefits. And it's just... And it's always a busy shop, like, but Friday would be busier than most days, probably, you know.
Yeah, and then, of course, the word would be going out that this had happened, and I suppose people, you know, their children didn't come home to them. Like, how did the evening unfold as people realised, you know, that there were so many people in the rubble?
Well, obviously, there were people named, but obviously nobody could confirm it, because then they had to check, you know, maybe they hadn't parked the car, maybe moved on somewhere else, but unfortunately all the names are coming out as they're confirmed casualties, and it's the community's just total shocked. I don't know, but like, we're a small community, and I suppose we'll gather around and the best we can.
And Gerald, you work with the Muckish Development Group.
I do, yeah. And we also do a magazine here too, the Creaseley View, you know, and we usually, that's a bit old stories and years gone by, and for the future generation to look at. And I'll tell you, this is one that we didn't want to be putting into a book for future generations.
You mentioned there, you were at that mass this morning at 10 o'clock, Gerald.
Yeah.
I understand there was a very big gathering of the community there.
Yeah. It was packed out. I suppose people lighting candles and saying prayers. That's all we can do.
And I understand as well that, like, the community has really gathered round that the Wild Atlantic campsite there opposite...
Yeah.
They're
making teas and sandwiches, and, you know, everybody's, the little coffee dock down the town's opened up, giving out teas, and, like, everybody's happy.
That's the Huckleberry coffee shop, is it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that's become a sort of a centre for people to go and talk and...
Yeah, and then the school's opened, and there's the health centre's open today as well, doctors there, and so anybody wants help with the ground, and, you know, it's important that they do go with.
And are you there? Sorry, Gerald. Are you actually there at the scene at the moment?
Yeah.
And what is actually happening right now?
Well, what I've seen now, there come a few more ambulances in there for whatever reason, I don't know, but it's cordoned off, and only the fire brigade and stuff that's in there, we're not allowed in, it's cordoned off. But,
and last night, I know that when this happened, and you know, everyone rushed to help and went to the scene, it was at great risk, like in terms of the people involved in that rescue effort.
Oh, definitely, like there's huge concrete slabs that, well, you see the photographs, they're just sitting up in the air, you know, so, and then there's someone that has collapsed, so they're working under dangerous, but, you know, they're getting through it now, I suppose, and for the next few hours it'll tell what's left.
Is there many people around there now?
There's still a few, wouldn't be as many as last night, but, you know, everybody's down around, there's still people, locals, and I suppose they're not there just to know, they just want to be there to get maybe some comfort from, to be there, like the say a prayer.
Yeah, and I know, because we heard about the scenes overnight, really heartbreaking scenes where families were waiting for news.
Yeah, yeah. I just seen one member of family at the minute, her sister was killed, so it's
Gerald, it's so hard to get your head around this. It's so huge. So, you know, in any community, this would be huge. But in a small, small community, as you say, where everyone knows each other, so many people are related to each other.
That's right. Everybody knows one another, you know. And there's just no words. Like, it's next probably week is going to be tough. That's when the funeral starts. That would really sink in, you know.
Yeah. Gerald, I'll let you go there. I really, really appreciate you talking to us today. I know it's a very, very difficult day for you there, and really, you know, our condolences here from everyone here.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Gerald. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. And that was Gerald Duffy there. We'll take a break now, but we'll have more coverage of that explosion after these.